Today we are in week three of our Believe series, and the focus is on salvation, with the question being, what is salvation? We began actually 2 weeks ago considering what we believe about God, and last week we brought it down a little more focused to how is God a personal God? And we talked about the Good Shepherd and how we looked at Psalm 23 and how the Good Shepherd knows each of us by name. Today we are considering salvation and exactly what salvation is. You know, the Greek word for save is sodzo, S-O-D-Z-O. It means to heal or to make well or to restore to health. Could it be that there are places in your life that you need to be made well? There's a story in Luke chapter 7 where Jesus goes to eat at a Pharisee's house. And you know something right off the bat is going to happen when Jesus accepts an invitation to a Pharisee's house. But he goes to this Pharisee's house, and no sooner has Jesus taken his place at a table when a, quote, woman of the city comes in and anoints his feet with her tears and ointment from an alabaster jar. Well, the Pharisee is convinced that this proves that Jesus is no prophet, because he would never let someone like this touch his feet or touch him at all. He said this to himself, and Jesus promptly replied to him about what he was thinking to himself, which pretty much proved that Jesus was a prophet. And then Jesus tells him a story about two people who owed money to a money lender. One owed 10 times more than the other, and both were forgiven their debt because they couldn't pay it. Then Jesus asked which one loved the money lender more, and the Pharisee correctly answered, the one for whom the larger debt had been canceled. And Jesus went on to point out to the Pharisee that he had done nothing for Jesus. He had not brought water for his feet. He did not greet him with a kiss. He did not anoint him with oil. All those things were things a good host would do. But the woman did all three. And his point is that the one who is forgiven little loves little, while the one who is forgiven much loves much. And then Jesus does something amazing. He tells the woman, her sins are forgiven. And then he tells her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The word saved that's used there is sodzo, S-O-D-Z-O. Her faith had made her whole. It had made her well. It had saved her. And Jesus says, go in peace. In the next chapter, there's another story where Jesus is walking through a crowd of people. Luke says the people pressed around him. They were very close to him. And there was a woman that was among that crowd who came up and reached out and took the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus knew that something had happened, that he said that power had gone out from him. And immediately he's looking around trying to figure out who, in fact, had touched his cloak. And the disciples, they're beside themselves. They can't believe it. Look, Jesus, there's a lot of people here. They're pressing around you. Why are you focusing in on one person? It's a suffocating environment. But she was touched, as she touched the hem of his garment and was immediately healed. And Jesus has got to find out who it is. And the woman came and bowed before Jesus and told everything about her. How she had been dealing with this issue of blood for years and had been to many doctors and no one could help her, and how she had exhausted her life's resources trying to be made well again. And in faith, she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The word for well is sodzo. S-O-D-Z-O. The same word that's used in the story in the previous chapter. One had to do with the forgiven sins. The other has to do with physical health. But both people, both the sinful woman as well as the woman with the issue of blood, were saved. Their life was changed. They were different than the way they were before. One more example. Found in Luke chapter 19. It's a story about a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, which means he didn't have many friends, and collecting taxes for the Romans was really difficult job to have because it isolated you from your countrymen. You were thought of as a traitor. And so Zacchaeus, he is intrigued by Jesus. He's short of stature, but has lots of resources, and he climbs a sycamore fig tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And he does see Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus sees him. And he invites him down, he invites himself to Zacchaeus' house, and the people don't like the idea of Jesus going to the house of a tax collector, but he goes. And he goes and he has a meal with Zacchaeus and his family. And at that meal, Zacchaeus announced that he was giving half of all he owned to the poor and restoring four times anything that he had defrauded from anyone. And Jesus then says something very interesting. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Salvation is a word that is a derivative of Savior, and Zacchaeus needed a Savior. He was lost, and Jesus came to save him. The word sozo again. Zacchaeus was lost in his pursuit of wealth. He met Jesus and had a change of heart and moved to a new way of living. One woman had trusted doctors to heal her. She reached out to Jesus and was saved. One woman trusted her appearance, her body, to support her. She worshiped Jesus and was saved. One man trusted wealth to give him life. He brought Jesus into his house and he was saved. Friends, what are you trusting in your life? Is it money? Is it your job? Is it your work, your vocation, your family, your recreation, your looks? You know, maybe you've said a prayer at some point in your life and you've been baptized in the hopes of getting into heaven after you die. But have you entered into heaven now? Or in other words, has heaven entered into you? Are you living your eternal life now? Is all that Jesus represents in this idea of salvation being manifested in your life? What does it mean? What do we believe about salvation? Our primary text today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Here we find from Paul these words: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." One thing I think we can all agree on today is that Paul was sold out to Jesus Christ. He was all in. He was 100% invested in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we look up Paul in his writings, and you can see the word salvation coming up over and over again. In the New Testament, we find the word salvation 45 times. And it's pretty straightforward what salvation means. It means to be delivered. It means to be delivered. And we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, as Peter spoke before the Jewish council, he told them about Jesus and he said this, which gives us both salvation and saved. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that is our first point today, that salvation is found in no one other than Jesus Christ. Salvation is found in no one else other than Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was saying in Acts chapter 4, that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It is Jesus. It is only Jesus. So friends, when we ask if someone is saved, what are we saying? What are we asking them? Or meaning that they're a Christian, that they're attending church on Sunday? What we really are saying is, have they been restored? Have they been restored? Have they been made well? Are they a new creation because they have been delivered by Jesus? Our salvation is in Jesus Christ. So how do I get this salvation? Well, Paul gives us that great passage in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Paul is telling us that we receive this gift from God. The point is this: salvation is God's gift to us. There is nothing you can do to earn salvation. Nothing you can do to earn salvation. It is God's gift to us. We have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. It is God's grace. We certainly don't deserve it. But yet he offers it as a gift if we believe in Jesus Christ. We see that word saved as in Luke chapter 7 and Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 19. We're talking about someone being saved and asking, are you saved? My first question is, well, what are they saved from? What does salvation mean? What are we saved from? And if you were a part of the Sunday school class today, or if you've been reading the study guide along with us, you know that we are enemies of God because of sin in our lives. But Jesus takes that sin upon him. He delivers us. He redeems us. He restores us. He takes the wrath of God, our penalty, upon him. We became an enemy to God. Not that we plotted outright war against God, but if we are not for God, then we are against God. And our sin, from the moment we enter this world, easily pits us, from the moment we breathe, pits us against God. It's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God's goal was never the destruction of people. His goal was the restoration of people, the redemption of people, the freedom of people. And God gives us the freedom to come to him or to reject him. Our third point today is simply this: we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to put my faith in Jesus? Well, we get that answer for us in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. And John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." I think it's pretty clear that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. It is God's gift to us, and it is appropriated to us. It is received by us as we come to Jesus, as we come in faith to him, as we ask for this wonderful, wonderful gift. So how do you and I become saved? What do we need to do? Paul said it well in Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So in other words, we got to believe in our heart. We got to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We got to repent from our sin, turn from our sinful ways, begin walking in the obedience that God calls us to the righteousness that he clothes us with, to live according to his word and to become more and more like Jesus. You see, friends, salvation is about more than just getting your ticket for heaven punched when you die. Salvation and eternal life begins on the day you embrace a relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's about becoming that new person, that what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that new creation. We become a new creation in Christ. God takes, through Jesus Christ, he takes the sinfulness away from us and he clothes us with his righteousness. I love the kids' sermon today. Carrie talking about snow and how snow is so pure and clean. That's exactly what Jesus does for us. He takes all the sin and the muck in our lives and he gives us a clothing of white robes of righteousness. It's becoming a new person so the world can see So we need to ask God to forgive us our sins. We repent. We seek no longer to commit the sinful acts we've committed in the past, and we turn our lives, our heart, our spirit over to God. And that leads to our final point today. That is, salvation leads us to the good works God has for us. Salvation leads us to the good works God has for us. We are not saved because of our good works. Let me say that again. We are not saved because of our good works, but we are saved for good works. Verse 10 clearly says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us, prepared in advance for us to do." We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is God's gift to us, but we are saved for the good works that God has for us in Christ Jesus. Notice Paul says we are God's workmanship. We are created by God for good works, and each one of us is a unique creation. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that we are having this sermon on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where we recognize that every life is valuable. Every life is sacred. Every life is made in the image of God. We are all unique. But we have good works that we're called to do when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But our good works, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, are nothing but what? Filthy rags, the Bible tells us. You know, I don't think God doesn't get jazzed when we do something good if we don't have a relationship with Him through Jesus. But I think He does smile upon us when we say yes to Jesus and when we're living for Him, and then those good works begin to be manifest in our lives. That's when the smile of God comes upon us. And that's why Jesus could say in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your" what? "Your good deeds, but glorify our Father in heaven." We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We make it a goal to walk in faith every day. We make Christ a part of our lives. We serve God, we serve others as God in Christ offered His life in service to others. And we remember that every soul is made in the image of Christ, in the image of God, for the sake of others. Listen to this passage one more time, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. But this time from the Message, a modern translation. I love how Eugene Peterson translates those three verses. He says it this way: "Saving is all His idea and all His work. All we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No, we either make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does, the good work He has gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing." I love that translation of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 from the Message. Friends, what we believe matters. What we believe matters. And believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior matters the most. That's the reason we're a church, is because of the salvation we've received through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the hallmark of the ministries of the church. That's why we exist as a body, so that others will know about Jesus Christ and His great love for Him, for us. Friends, what we believe matters, and believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior matters most. So I ask you today, do you believe? Do you believe? And if not, why not? Why haven't you taken that step to believe in the One who lived and died and rose again to save you from your sin? Believe in Him and live. You notice out in the gathering area, we have the table for the believe items on there. We have the posters that have been out there, and some of you have been signing those posters. And let me encourage you to continue to do so, but make sure you read that poster before you sign it. And if you can read that poster and say, "I believe this," then sign your name on that poster. And we have last week's poster out there. You can sign it if you didn't sign it last week. And we have today's poster out there. But be sure and read it first, because what we believe matters. And we want to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And it's only through faith in Him as our Savior and Lord that we are wonderfully saved. Believe in Him and live for Him to the praise of His glory. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that You sent a Savior to us in Jesus Christ. Someone to come and take the penalty for our sin. Someone to come and die our death. Someone to come and redeem us, restore us, to make us whole and new. That's what it means. That's the sozo of the Greek language that is used for salvation. So, Father, if there's one here today who has never trusted You as Savior and Lord, has never invited You into their life, has never enthroned Jesus Christ upon their heart, Father, I pray today would be that day that simply through prayer they would say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that You died for me and rose again, and I confess today that I need Jesus Christ to cleanse me of all my sin as I surrender my life to Him. Come, live in me, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, so that I might be saved for the glory of God. Father, that's what it's all about here at Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren, that we would see soul after soul come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. What we believe matters, and we believe that Jesus Christ, only Jesus, is our means of salvation. So may we be faithful in living for Him, in being a champion for Jesus Christ in this world, and letting others know that there is one who loves them far more than they will ever know, and that is Jesus, who desires to be their Savior and Lord. Thank You for Your word to us today, Lord. Help us to believe, because what we believe matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.